It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. We are breaking into our regular programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. As it stands now, the latest update from the Health Department shows 1,164 positive coronavirus test results that have been identified here in Arkansas. That is an increase up from the 1,094 positive tests that was announced by Governor Hutchinson at yesterday's daily briefing. The number of deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas appears to be unchanged at this hour. That is at 21 deaths. That was an increase of 3 new deaths yesterday, all in people over 60 years of age. So far, just over 17,000 Arkansans have been tested at all for the coronavirus, with most of those tests, of course, coming back negative. We heard at yesterday's briefing the vast majority of tests in Arkansas are being conducted by private laboratories, with others being done by the Arkansas Department of Health's Public Health Lab and the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. Again, at this hour, from the Health Department, 1,164 positive coronavirus test results have been identified in Arkansas. So far, 21 people have been confirmed dead due to the COVID-19 disease, the disease caused by the coronavirus. You are listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. And this is live special coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard Dr. Nate Smith, who is the secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health, speaking a little bit about guidelines for essential workers who could possibly be exposed, perhaps in a healthcare setting, to the coronavirus. But if they do not have any symptoms, Smith said they can return to work with a surgical mask over their face and frequent checks of their temperatures and symptoms. Of course, if they do develop any of those, they should go home. Smith also said that for people who have tested positive for the coronavirus and have become symptomatic, they need to isolate in their house or in a hospital setting. If they do become that ill, they should isolate for 7 days from the first onset of their symptoms, and then they should also wait 3 days without a fever. They should isolate until they have not had a fever for 3 days. And we heard yesterday 21 new Arkansans had been hospitalized, but 24 had left the hospital, so that resulted in a net decrease of hospitalizations down to 73 people in Arkansas yesterday. 31 of those hospitalized Arkansans were receiving mechanical ventilation. And earlier this week, we heard an announcement from Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin and the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences Chancellor Dr. Cam Patterson that the state would be receiving 100,000 doses of hydroxychloroquine, and that is a drug being used experimentally to treat COVID-19. Now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Well, I brought a new face mask today. This is given to me by TY Garment Company here in Little Rock that produced these and brought some by the governor's office. So I'm developing my collection of face masks. Welcome to today's COVID-19 daily update. I'm very pleased to be joined by Secretary Nate Smith, as always, and then Secretary Mike Preston, who will give a brief update on unemployment numbers. Director A.J. Gary is always here and supportive of us from a supply chain management standpoint. And I have a special guest today, Dr. Rex Horn, who I've asked to come to give a special word as we enter the Easter holiday under difficult and emergency circumstances in Arkansas. I know that this Sunday is Easter, and everybody's getting ready for it. That's on April 12th, but before that is April 11th, and on April 11th, I have 3 birthdays in my family. I have April 11th, my wife, Susan, the First Lady, my daughter, Sarah, and my son, Seth, all born on the same day, April 11th. And I'm sharing that, one, because I want to say happy birthday to Susan, happy birthday to Sarah, and happy birthday to Seth. But also, we're celebrating these birthdays in a non-traditional fashion. We're not getting together. We're not throwing a get-together and a party with all the family members. We're doing it separately. We're having our distancing, even though it's a big deal in our family's life. And that's important for us to realize as we take precautions over this weekend. I did want to give an update on the cases. Yesterday we had 1,094 cases. There's been 77 new cases, and now we have 1,171 cases in Arkansas with 86 hospitalized and 23 deaths, so that's an increase of two. I did want to look at, just give a report with two graphics, and if we could go ahead and turn to the first graphic this morning, and this brings you back 2 weeks ago. And so 2 weeks ago, I presented this graph, which is based upon the projections from our own Department of Health. And as you recall, that 2 weeks ago, I said that if we do what we should do in social distancing, if we do the best we can in Arkansas, then hopefully we can stick to that projection, which would have brought us on the end date of April 10th, which is the end, and that's the reason I'm presenting this, with 3,500 actual infections in Arkansas. As you can see, Arkansans beat that, and that's the red graphs that are there that shows that we are where we are today, which is, what, 1,100 cases versus the 3,500 that was what we were looking at as a projection for the Department of Health. If you go to the next slide, and that's history because that's April 10th, but this is the one that I shared, I believe it was yesterday, and this is from the University of Washington, the ones that so many states and our Washington takes a look at, that it was the expected versus actual hospital bed use. And so this is looking at hospital stays and hospital rate of usage. And the red line is what was projected by the University of Washington. And as you can see, that would go up to about 200 yesterday. And we are at about, 80-some in our hospitalization rate. And what is really encouraging to see is the flatter line, in which there's not a large escalation of those. We'll continue to watch those. And so those are two charts that I wanted to mention to you today. And that leads me to this morning, both Dr. Smith and myself had an opportunity to have a very good conversation with Dr. Fauci. And as we visited with him at the White House over the telephone, we briefed him on what we're doing in Arkansas. Of course, he's looking at his own data, and I was very pleased with his stamp of approval on what we're doing and the direction that we're going in Arkansas and the steps that we are taking. So I was grateful for the opportunity for Dr. Smith and I to brief him. I haven't seen the transcript, but I understand that Dr. Fauci did talk about Arkansas in one of their daily briefings. So I look forward to seeing his specific comments. But we were able to brief him and to get his comments on the direction we're going and support for it. As you know, that every death is a tragedy as a result of COVID-19. And even they're not just statistics, they're real people. And today I talked to a family member of someone who has passed away, who's actually the first state employee that we have lost as a result of COVID-19, and that is Richard Richardson. He's our first state employee who died of COVID-19. I spoke with his family, and I loved hearing them describe Richard Richardson. He was recruited to play football at the University of Arkansas by Coach Lou Holtz, and they described him as the best nose guard in the history of Razorback football. Some people might dispute that, but that's the family pride in Richard Richardson. He was a substance abuse counselor for community corrections. He served our state well, and I just wanted to acknowledge publicly his life and the contributions that he has made here to the state of Arkansas. And I know that there's so many others that you could say wonderful things about in terms of their history, but I did want to mention him as the first state employee. And so with that, let me recognize Dr. Nate Smith for his comments.
This is Nate Smith, Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor.
This is KYR 89.1.
I have a couple of slides or graphs, too. This is a graph that is showing the number of new cases each day. Each date has a bar on it, and it what it shows is that the number of new cases that we have per day has pretty much leveled off in the 70s for about the last week. And I'm showing that because that is the first graph that we will expect to start going down when we approach the peak of our COVID-19 epidemic in Arkansas. And if you could show the second one as well. This is a graph showing the number of hospitalized individuals with COVID-19 in Arkansas. It's cumulative, so it shows the total, not the current, not the ones who are in the hospital now. And what this graph is showing is the doubling time for our hospitalizations. And you can see that the governor a few days ago showed the doubling times for our cases, which had extended out to 7 days, and we're seeing really the same thing here with our hospitalizations. What I want to do is also briefly talk about a new CDC publication today in their MMWR, Morbidity Mortality Weekly Report. This is an article on state differences, and they looked at the difference in the incidence of cases, that's the number of cases per population, on March 31st, and then compared it with April 7th. And as you know, all the states have increased since then, but Arkansas was one of the lowest increases. There were only five states that had a lower increase than us. And oftentimes our state is in the top whatever of bad things, but now we're in the top 10 in terms of slow growth of COVID-19. I want to give a little bit more detail on our lab testing from yesterday, and then a few more details on our numbers. In terms of lab testing, we had 1,348 reports yesterday. That's the largest single daily number of reports. Of those, 1,147 were from commercial labs. 118 were from the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab, and 83 were from the UAMS lab. And Chancellor Patterson tells me of those 83, 40 of them were from their mobile testing unit, which went out to Texarkana yesterday and is in Helena today. In terms of our positivity rate, our overall positivity rate yesterday was 3.6%. Now in our Arkansas Department of Health lab, we're testing higher risk patients, and so our positivity rate was 8.5, but the overall was 3.6. In terms of our numbers for today, as the governor has mentioned, we had 77 new cases, bringing us to a total of 1,171 cumulative or total cases. Of those, we have 836 active cases. That's our total cases minus those who have recovered and minus those who have passed away. We have currently hospitalized 86, which is 13 more than we had yesterday. We've actually had 23 newly hospitalized and then 10 left hospital. We have 33 on a ventilator. That's two more than yesterday. And we have 23 deaths, which is two more than yesterday. And of those deaths, one was less than 65 years of age, and one was greater than 65 years of age. We have 79 who are nursing home residents. That's three more than yesterday. And we have 312 who have recovered. That's 59 more than yesterday. Healthcare workers, we have 168. That's 10 more than yesterday. And of our healthcare workers, we have a total of 46 who have recovered. So of the 168, 46 have recovered. And I think that's enough details for today. I want to wish everyone a very happy Easter. Please do, this is a very festive weekend, but remember our directive against social gatherings of more than 10, And for worship services, again, I've been very impressed with how places of worship have found creative ways to celebrate together without being in physical contact, whether that's online or whether that's in a parking lot, each person in their car, or whether that's a small number in a very large facility where everyone has plenty of room and can socially distance. I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, and I want to underscore what Dr. Smith said about our testing. That's the largest number of tests, but the variety with our mobile lab going out to some of the far-flung reaches of our state to get a good sample, along with the intensity of the testing in problematic areas from the Department of Health, and then the commercial labs, which really gives you a good sampling across the state. I like that result that we have and the increased testing information that we're receiving. On the business side, as you know, Arkansas is still doing a lot of business. We have to produce food. We have to do the transportation. We have to do the essential services and the grids that we have from transportation to electricity. And I want to highlight what one company is doing to make sure we do our social distancing, that we do our precautions in the workforce. Tyson's has installed walk-through infrared cameras to detect fever as the employees come to work. And so this is an enhancement for them for safety and protection. This will be in 3 processing plants, and I applaud that best practice that we see coming from Tyson during this time. I wanted to ask Secretary Preston to be here because I asked him today, I said, we're processing a lot of claims. How many people are getting checks? I get asked that question, and people need to know that, but Secretary Preston, if you could come and address that.
This is Arkansas Commerce Secretary Mike Preston.
Thank you, Governor, and I would echo those sentiments to Tyson and so many of our businesses in Arkansas who are continuing to operate in a safe manner, that are helping to continue to feed our state and our country, and trying to move products around to make sure those essential supplies are moving. So thank you to them, and thank you, Governor. As the governor indicated, we're now up to approximately 132,000 unemployment claims that have been filed since this pandemic started. The good news on that number is it's a little bit slower than the pace of last week. We still have a couple days to go in the week, so we'll see where we do end up. But if you look at the number of claimants who have been paid, as the governor was talking about, anyone who filed in the week of ending March 21st or the week ending March 28th should have already received their unemployment compensation, as well as an additional pandemic unemployment compensation from the federal government. We received those guidance from the federal Department of Labor on Saturday, and were able to add that to those who filed back then. If you filed on the week ending April 4th, you can expect that to be processed on Sunday, and your check or funds into your account this coming Monday. So then anyone who filed this week will be of the following week. Those funds related to the pandemic unemployment compensation, the additional $600, are now up and running, so that will just be automatically added to those who are regularly receiving those benefits. So there'll be nothing that you need to do to go back in and change. Just make sure you're checking in on your weekly check-in on unemployment and filling out that information, and that should process going forward. I do want to report, too, on the positive side, we have the Shared Work Program. This was something that opened up through the CARES Act. This allows businesses to provide workable hours instead of having a large layoff where they can reduce employees' hours and spread that around so folks are still working. And through the CARES Act, they're also able to still claim for unemployment benefits just at a smaller rate based on the hours that they're working. We now have 44 companies in Arkansas who are taking advantage of this program. So we're excited, and hopefully more companies will take advantage of that to allow more folks to stay employed through this difficult time. And then our loan program, we're up to 172 loans approved, totaling a little over $3.5 million, and that represents counties, about 50 counties from all over the state. And with that, I will also wish everyone a very happy Easter and a very happy birthday to the First Lady, Sarah and Seth. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mike. And I've asked a longtime friend of mine, Dr. Rex Horn, who's also, I believe, chaplain of the House, if he would come and give us an Easter word. We've talked about the historic time in which we're encouraging churches not to meet, which is very unusual. We are discouraging family gatherings, and so this is a tough time spiritually for our state as well. And Dr. Horn.
This is Dr. Rex Horn, a pastor and former president of Ouachita Baptist University.
It's a privilege for me to be here today and to have an opportunity to share a word. I do want to thank you and Dr. Smith and your team for these reports and updates each day. It's become a part of our regular routine each day to keep up with what's being said and to help us to feel like with your clear and concise and comforting words at time, what we can do as individuals to be a part of doing this to help flatten the curve and to get back to life as we've known it before. When Easter comes around, and as we know, this is a special season for several of the world's great religions, but specifically for Christians today, when we come to Good Friday and Easter comes on Sunday, it's a time for me for reflection. I think a lot about Easter's past. Even when I was a boy in a small frame church in North Louisiana with Big Mama and Big Papa, I think about the years at my home in South Arkansas, in Camden, at Cullendale, and our church there, and the Easters. As a pastor, as a preacher for many times, Easter is nothing like it. The largest crowds of the year, the family gatherings, the things that we do, and we reflect. This year is not going to be that way. We've learned that you can worship through live streaming. You can have Bible studies through Zoom. And we've learned some terms like social distancing and flattening the curve and things that are different to our vocabularies. So we'll look back on Easter's past and we'll be grateful. This morning on one of the news shows, I heard author John Meacham talk about his own faith and how he has applied that in these days. And he referred to a psalm, Psalm 22, and it's the one that has the familiar words in it, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he talked about that, and then he said, but keep reading the psalm, and the last verses are comfort and are hope. Those words that were spoken are reflective of what many people feel in Arkansas and really throughout the world today. They may feel abandoned, cut loose, left alone, even by God. Because in our state, we know there are many people who are sick, there are many who are unemployed, they're concerned financially, there are emotional concerns, and of course, we remember those, as the governor mentioned today, the state employee and others whose families are suffering bereavement, grief, because of the loss of a loved one. And it's significant to me that that phrase, why have you forsaken me, is one of the words that the Lord used on the cross on Good Friday so many years ago. Now, we can spend time talking about, well, we know the answer to that as individuals, of why he suffered, and he knew that as well. But not only is Easter a time of reflection, but anticipation. So today, I would just encourage us all to remember that Sunday follows Friday. And Friday was a day of crucifixion, but Sunday was a day of resurrection. And another one of the words that our Lord spoke from the cross is, it is finished. It's done. It's over. The one who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Let's remember, fellow Arkansans, as we do our part, even in social distancing through Easter, that there's another day coming. And we have good days ahead. And because of the leadership of our governor, because of the things that he and his team are encouraging us to do, and we're following it, hopefully, it'll be sooner rather than later. So we're blessed in some respects. Most of us all are blessed that we have good leadership, but we can look to the one who felt like we felt those things, but who has power to help us through these days. Thank you again, Governor, and I do pray for all of the Arkansans that this in itself will be a blessed Easter.
And this is 89.1 KYR.
Thank you, Dr. Horn, for that word of encouragement to all of Arkansas. With that, we have to turn it over to questions.
In terms of your conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci, kind of elaborate more on his stamp of approval. What steps the state was taking that really got that step, or that stamp?
Welcome to Zoom. Please press 1 to join the meeting. You are in the meeting now.
Welcome. The question is more in terms of our conversation with Dr. Fauci today, and I really wanted to get his guidance You know, if he saw that we should be doing something more, if he looked at our statistics, we're not reading them exactly right. I wanted to hear from him on that. And so I know that he looked at all of the data before he even talked to us, but you know, we talked about the steps that we took going back to March 11, the first case that appeared in Arkansas. We declared a public emergency and we closed the schools. We took these different steps. I talked about our targeted response to these and then the steps that we took on social distancing as well as in the wearing of masks. And of course, whenever you look at the numbers, he looked at those and then we had a conversation and so he said, you know, what you're doing is right. What you're doing is good. What you're accomplishing is a model. And so it doesn't mean it's a model for everybody, but it was right for Arkansas. And I think that's the point of the conversation. I was very impressed with Dr. Fauci that he wanted to know what the people of Arkansas were thinking too. How are they responding to this? How long can we handle this kind of challenge and restrictions on social activities and gatherings? And I talked about, we're looking forward to the day of getting open, of doing business again, but everybody understands what's at stake for our nation and they're shouldering up and doing very well. So it was a very good conversation. Dr. Smith, you were there on that conversation. Could you elaborate any?
This is Nate Smith, Secretary of the Arkansas Department of Health again.
Certainly. First of all, I would say it was a real honor and privilege to be able to talk to Dr. Fauci because he's someone I've looked up to for a very long time and had the chance to share that with him. What I briefly shared with him is that what we're doing here is encouraging social distancing. We are prohibiting social gatherings of more than 10. We have already shut down businesses that are very high risk for COVID-19 transmission. And for those that continue, we've provided guidance for how to conduct business in a way that minimizes the risk of COVID-19 transmission. I shared with them that we have one of the slowest growth rates of cases in the country, and also that we have the lowest hospitalization rate per capita of our surrounding states. He said that he was very happy with what we were doing. He said, you're doing the right things. You are a model for other states. I think he said that beyond what the governor said. For rural states, I pointed out that it is a slower process. We have a lower population density. It's going to take longer for us to get to our peak. And it's very important that whatever we do, we be able to sustain not just for 15 days, probably not even for 30 days, but longer than that, as long as it takes. And he understood that, saw that, asked what they could do on the task force to help us, and we gave some suggestions, and a very positive call. I felt we got some very good, useful perspective from him.
On that same topic, did you specifically talk about the issue of either stay-at-home order or not having a stay-at-home order in Arkansas?
The topic was brought up, and we described our strategy, and he supported our strategy for what it fits in Arkansas.
He didn't think that we need a stay-at-home order.
No, he did not say that.
I mean, was it his suggestion to the national media that everybody needed to do a shelter in place, or what triggered the call?
It was just an understanding that, he's the top medical infectious disease doctor that the administration is relying upon. And you think about Arkansans listen to him every day. In fact, what Arkansan said, whatever you do, Governor, just do what Dr. Fauci says. And so it's an important connection that he has. And so, this is a great responsibility that I have, and I want to make good decisions. And so I don't have any challenge with him looking at us and saying, well, you ought to think about this or you ought to think about that. So that was the purpose of it, to guide us, just to add one more link to our system of advice here in this state and our decision-making process. And so It was good to be affirmed in it, but also to pick his brain a little bit. Yes.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but Pine Bluff High School had a different type of graduation ceremony yesterday. It was a small ceremony with drive-throughs, and there were still crowds of people and things of that nature. As more schools are starting to set up graduation plans, will there be any other stipulations put around these graduation ceremonies?
Well, the guidelines are simply no gatherings more than 10 people and to have social distancing, and that should be enforced in whatever social environment, including graduations, if we do any graduation ceremonies. I did comment the other day that, you know, the seniors are missing out a lot, and I expect families and schools to innovate a little bit. So as long as they follow those rules, I think we ought to understand that. Now, let me say something, though, about the vehicles. You know, sometimes you see a caravan of vehicles and you want to criticize it or question it, but then other times you see a caravan of vehicles, for example, that are applauding healthcare workers. And so as long as they're in their vehicle, that is a protective measure. They're going through drive-through restaurants. As long as you stay in your vehicle, you can socially distance, you can protect yourself, you wear a mask if you need be. So it all depends upon where they're following those, but it's understandable they look for ways to celebrate that graduation.
Yeah. Well, in this case, they were kind of like crowded in cars, hugging. There were a lot of people out on the streets as well, so it wasn't as if it was just 10 people or just, you know, small.
Well, you can't be hugging strangers. You can't be hugging and have close contact in individual circumstances. It's just, that's where you risk it. And there's been stories about, you know, a family birthday party with just six people there, and all of a sudden, two of them come down with COVID-19 and the dad dies. I mean, that's putting too much at risk. And so please, let's make sure that whatever we do the social distancing, and we've got to discipline ourselves during this time for the safety of ourselves and others.
In terms of the caravan of vehicle.
Yeah, let's go right here.
Sorry.
First.
We're getting calls that all abortions have been stopped, that there's been a directive just to stop all abortions. Can you confirm that?
It's a guideline, and to my knowledge, most services have been ceased and go online. There's instances that you might have a small church with 20 people there and a facility with 200 and you can have social distancing. There's theories, but our recommendation is that you not gather during this time. The risk is too great, and I hope everybody's following that.
About, we were told that you all had stopped all abortion.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said church.
No, sorry. That there'd been a new directive just to stop all abortion.
There has been a directive that's been issued by the Department of Health to follow the previous guidelines that were submitted to all clinics and surgery facilities that dealt with the elective surgery issues. And so there was a specific guidance and then a directive, and it's my understanding a cease and desist directive as well, because we did not believe that was being followed adequately.
Well, that would then, so are you saying that, does that mean that there will be no abortions?
It means they have to follow the directives that have been issued by the Department of Health.
That means it would be up to the provider whether or not it was an emergency.
There is limited discretion, and Dr. Smith, you can add to that. You might have an update. I don't know whether you've got more information. I've got more information because it's a moving.
This is Nate Smith, Secretary of Health.
This morning, the Department of Health, having already conducted an investigation based on complaints, continued to do procedures that were elective, not intended to preserve the life of the mother or the child, obviously, and people coming from other states We had discussed it with the facility. They expressed that they were not intending to change their practices in any way, so we gave a letter to cease and desist until it's safe to do that. And we've asked other surgical clinics to do the same thing, to put off procedures that can be put off, that are not life-saving procedures, until we're past this COVID-19 outbreak and we can do that safely.
The definition now of an elective abortion is one that's just to save the life of the mother or the child?
Well, part of this is a matter of terms. The types of abortions in medical terminology, an abortion has to do with any kind of miscarriage. An elective abortion or an induced abortion has to do one that is done purposefully. But it's a procedure that's not done to preserve the life of the mother or the child. And so we consider those elective.
Let me go to the remote. Is there a question from our remote location?
Thank you, Governor. This question is really for Dr. Smith, and I know he talked about it yesterday, but he could recap the portion about how they're attributing death. For instance, if someone comes into the hospital with one of the underlying conditions and they pass away, is it automatically attributed to COVID-19, or COVID-19 possibly exacerbated one of the other underlying conditions?
That's a very good question. When someone comes into the hospital and they have COVID-19, if they pass away, how do we attribute it? We're generally attributing that to COVID-19. Whether COVID-19 was the only cause of death, or whether it exacerbated an underlying medical condition, or whether it was a contributing condition, we all attribute those to COVID-19. All of those would be counted as a COVID-19 death.
Thank you. And just one follow-up, completely unrelated. Dr. Smith, you mentioned the Federal Corrections Facility in Forest City. Are there any evidence of any cases in any of the state correction facilities?
No, not at this time. Not that I'm aware of in terms of in the facilities. As the governor mentioned, state employee, our first state employee to pass away from COVID-19 was in the Department of Community Corrections, but within our facilities, no. We're watching that carefully because obviously if COVID-19 is within a congregate living setting like that, it's more challenging to control the spread.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the caravan discussion that we were having earlier. Little Rock this week had an executive order, Mayor Frank Scott Jr. banned caravanning in the city of Little Rock. You just said that that's fine. Do you think that that was a good executive order for Frank Scott to put through?
Follow the admonitions of the mayor. The mayor in this city directed that. I think that is terrific. And of course, that was following an incident in which there was social gatherings accompanied with that. There was some illegal activity as well, I understand. What I'm referencing is, and you've seen some of these pictures, that there might be a caravan of cars going by a house to wish somebody a happy birthday as they drive by. That's a caravan. And I don't believe that's what the mayor is going after, but if it is, that's a city directive. But I was speaking in that larger context, not to be in conflict with what they do here, but that's just a recognition of one of the ways we can socially distance but have some happy birthday wish, or wishing someone as they join the military goodbye. You drive by, it's a little bit of a caravan. Obviously, it ought to be restricted, and it not ought to lead to a violation of social distancing rules. Yes?
On the issue of the abortions, just from the perspective of public health, if women are going outside the state to get abortions because they can't get them here, do you have any concern that that is going to create a problem with them potentially being exposed to the coronavirus outside of Arkansas?
If there is a life of the mother, if there's a that kind of a circumstance, they have access to that procedure here. The concern is both the following the same directive that we've given to other elective surgery facilities in Arkansas. And then secondly, as Dr. Smith pointed out, it's a matter of other states that are coming here for this facility. And so that is a risk to us from a number of standpoints, and that's the reason we want that directive to be followed.
A woman chooses to have an abortion because she wishes to have an abortion and she needs to have it done in a particular number of days, that's not going to happen?
Dr. Smith?
All of these measures are temporary. They're not permanent measures. How long they'll be in place, I can't say with certainty, but we're talking weeks, not months. And there are many procedures that have had to be put off that are important, but they need to wait because the risk of COVID-19 transmission is high when you get a lot of people coming together unnecessarily in a healthcare setting. And in this particular case, the risk was particularly high because a high proportion of those cases were coming from out of state, residents from out of state, where they're bringing that risk of transmission with them from other states with a higher rate of COVID-19 than Arkansas.
Some women are going to have a baby. Is that what that means?
Is there a question remotely? All right. Any other? Yes, ma'am.
Previously, we've gone over the Washington State projections. And for Arkansas, it was down to 18 not too long ago. But now we've surpassed that as far as fatalities. Do you have any thoughts on those models now? And do you have any of the latest fatality projections for the state?
Fatality projections? Well, first, on the models, I think you can see that they adjust their model from time to time based upon new data. And so that's why I like to note this is a model that was created on March 30th and what the projections would be and where we are. They will adjust the model as new data comes in. In terms of the fatalities, I'm not aware of a projection on that. Usually it's expressed in terms of a certain percent of hospitalizations result in fatalities, but I don't know of any particular models. You know, Dr. Smith?
The IHME, or University of Washington model, does have a projection for total number of deaths. We have not done a model like that ourselves in-house. Again, the risk of death depends on a number of things. Obviously, the number of cases, the type of healthcare setting in which they're cared for, and then also the health of the underlying population. As of April 7th, our overall case fatality rate, the proportion of all those diagnosed with COVID-19 who have passed away, was 1.8%. That's actually lower than the national average, it's not the lowest of the states, but that ranges from about 1% in the lowest state to up to over 5% in the highest state, which is New York State.
Let me conclude today by saying that we will forego our usual daily briefing on Saturday and Sunday, barring any unforeseen circumstances, and we'll reconvene this daily briefing on Monday. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of news to generate or to discuss at that point. Thank you very much.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. You are listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just to recap, there are 1,171 confirmed positive cases of coronavirus in Arkansas. That is an increase of 77 new cases identified since yesterday. The number of hospitalized patients with COVID-19 is at 86 today, and 23 people have died. That is an increase of 2 more deaths from yesterday. We heard Governor Asa Hutchinson and Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith at the beginning of today's briefing, saying that they had talked with, they had spoken with Anthony Fauci. Dr. Fauci is, of course, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He is often called the country's leading expert on virus transmission, pandemics, things like that. He, of course, is coordinating much of President Donald Trump's efforts to combat the coronavirus outbreak here in the U.S. Governor Hutchinson saying that Dr. Fauci, in contrast to what he had previously said, that all states need to have a stay-at-home order, Dr. Fauci saying that he thinks what Arkansas is doing, what Asa Hutchinson calls a more targeted approach of just only closing select businesses. Governor Hutchinson saying that Dr. Fauci said that it is right and, quote, good and serving as a model for other states, though he said Dr. Fauci does not believe that what works in Arkansas would work for everyone else in the country. He also said that Fauci said Arkansans do not need to stay at home. And, of course, Governor Asa Hutchinson has said in the past that he does not want to do that. He does not want to restrict the movement of Arkansans and restrict commerce that much. Arkansas, of course, is one of just a handful of states that does not have any stay-at-home orders, either locally or statewide. We had a bit of an update from Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston talking about unemployment. He said that this week there have been 132,000 unemployment claims filed so far, but the pace was a little bit slower than last week. He said anyone who filed for unemployment in the week ending on March 21st or March 28th should have already gotten their unemployment benefits, their first payments from that, as well as a $600 check on top of that coming from the $2 trillion CARES Act, the federal bailout for the coronavirus. Preston said that if you filed for unemployment ending in the week ending in April 4th, those payments will be processed this Sunday and funds will be available next Monday, and that money from the CARES Act is automatically added. We heard a number of questions at the end of today's briefing about abortion providers here in Arkansas. There has been some news coming out of Little Rock. There is only one surgical abortion provider in Little Rock. The Department of Health has issued guidelines to all surgical clinics, not just abortion clinics, and all healthcare providers to suspend non-essential procedures, to suspend elective procedures. The health department considering surgical abortions as an elective procedure if it is not to preserve the health of the mother. We heard Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health, say that his department had issued a cease and desist order to the surgical abortion clinic here in Little Rock, actually, because they were continuing to provide elective surgical abortions to people who, to mothers that their health was not being affected by the pregnancy. Again, Smith saying that this is not only targeted at abortion clinics, it's targeted at all surgical clinics, and it is a temporary order. And he expects the restrictions to be lifted in a couple of weeks. Again, 1,171 cases of the coronavirus here in Arkansas. 23 people have died. That is an increase of 2 more deaths since yesterday. You're listening to KYR News.